This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run, where we go behind the headlines, speaking to journalists and media practitioners on stories from around the world. I'm Lynn Mark, together with Julian Ng. And joining us in studios today is our regular Pressing Matters guest, P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. Welcome to the studio,
Guna. Thank you.
Now, you've recently penned a column with your thoughts on the latest twists and turns of the Plus takeover saga, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. Aguna's here to help us untangle all the threads in this story. So first off, let's recap what's behind this. Why is there jostling from private sector players to take over Plus?
I think obviously there has to be some amount of value, you know, and the thing is, you put up a relatively small amount of money and you're taking over a huge amount of assets. So from the private sector point of view, because of the leverage and all of those things that they have, and the debt financing is already in place largely, they can make a lot of money. You know? And then there is also one complication, you know, because the government guarantees a huge part of the loan. So what happens if the government does not guarantee it? You know, then the cost of interest will go up to these people, for these people who propose to acquire, and that could actually reduce the profits that they might make. And if that happens, then because of that, a number of them are actually asking for government guarantees to continue. So which is really a no-go, you know? I guarantee the loans for you and then you make the profits. You know? Is that a fair deal? Certainly not. You know?
Mm-hmm. And you're a proponent of just keeping the Plus Highway in government's hands at the moment is kind of almost half-half between Khazana and EPF. Yes. And some of the arguments that are being put forward by not only yourself, but some other people in the industry, that the buyers are not of the highest quality caliber. For example, Halim Sa'ad has just winded down his Sumatech resources. Yes. And now he is making that 5.2 billion ringgit bid for Plus.
Yes, I think... one thing about Tan Sri Halim Saad is that he has upped the bid stakes. As it was hovering around around 3 billion in terms of cash, you know. And then it went up to 3.5 billion. And then he increased it, you know, by coming in with a bid of 5.2 billion, which was topped by the Vidat Group by 100 million to 5.3 billion. So he's
not asking for extension as well. So that makes his offer the only one in market that hasn't asked for extension.
You know, but still, even with that kind of terms, it looks like Khazana does not want it. You know, and EPF says we'll see. You know, if the offer is attractive enough, we'll accept it. You know? So that is the aversion.
So what is your analysis, though, of the current offers on the table that you laid out? You know, are these offers fair value?
It's impossible to say because we don't have the full details of the offer. No? You know, so and it's actually quite a complex deal because, I mean, even very tiny changes in terms can throw off the valuation over an 18-year period to the end of the toll by a lot. And then on top of that, here you have at least three of them asking for extensions of the toll concession. So if you ask for an extension, is that extension going to be given for free? You know, Plus is currently valued at about 38 billion. You know, based on the last offer for the enterprise value. So it's fair to assume that you're talking about maybe about 40 billion. Valuation for an extension of 20 years. Currently, time to expiry is 18 years. Eh? So it more than doubles the concession period if you grant an extension of 20 years. So which means that will be worth 40 billion bucks 18 years down the line. You know? Even if you discount it to current terms, using an appropriate discount rate, it'll be at least 20 billion ringgit. You know? So if the government accedes to such a valuation, Then they are just basically giving away 20 billion for free.
Yeah, but I think the government doesn't have to do that. I guess not only does the buyer have to have some kind of experience in highways operations and maintenance, but also have the financial clout as well. So let's say if you take away the identity of the buyers and become totally agnostic in this whole situation, what if Warren Buffett or someone with the financial might and with the reputation, Robert Kwok, you know, coming in to swoop in the highways for $30 to $40 billion ringgit. I mean, enterprise value currently is whatever the cash price plus the debts, which is over $30 billion. We're talking about a $40 billion price tag. If someone with a financial clout coming in to buy this, wouldn't that be an okay consideration for the nation?
If it is a person who can take over the entire government guarantees, you know, and even so, there is still the moral hazard problem here, which is basically PLUS is a project which you cannot afford to fail. It can't fail. So, because it's an infrastructure project, much like a power plant or things like that. So if anything goes wrong, the government has to step in and make sure and put in the money to maintain the highway. So effectively, it is the government which is still taking the risk for this project. But none of these people who have so far put the bids have got that kind of financial capability. They want government guarantees or extensions and things like that. So the other thing is that some people have suggested, which I agree with, this: why not just let these toll concessions run their course? After that, the asset reverts back to the government, and then all the government has to do is to maintain the highways at a very much lower rate, or even privatize the maintenance of the highway, and you can reduce your toll at that point of time. And
To wait though, 18 years.
but if you grant the extension of 20 years, then you have to wait 38 years.
Even longer. Yeah. You know, the other way is to really cash out, raise the money, because the government is in need of money today, right? And perhaps do you think that some of these, this too big to fail idea for PLUS Highway is an important asset for the nation. Can you set certain conditions for the buyer? Otherwise, that asset can be taken back by the government if, for example, the highways are not maintained properly.
Okay, but what kind of conditions can you set? At the end of the day, it is the government which is still bearing much of the risk now. But if we step back now and say, why is the government selling? Why does the government want to sell Khazanah assets? You know, the official reason, which PM Tun Mahathir has mentioned before, is that we don't have enough money. The previous government has borrowed too much. You know, so we have to reduce our borrowings. All right, what happens in this case? You know, in this case here, you have PLUS, which has got $30 billion in borrowings. If these guys take over, do the borrowings go down? They don't, because the contingent liability is still upon the government. So if you go by Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng's definition of debt, which includes contingent liabilities, there's no difference.
Mm-hmm. Can you not sever that contingent liability as part of the KPI, right? Because any conditions can be imposed by the government.
But how do you do that? None of these people have got the capability to take on a $30 billion debt on their own.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking more of Warren Buffett or Robert Kwok type person.
Unlikely that somebody like that will come along. And certainly, it has got to be locally owned for obvious strategic reasons and things like that. So PLUS, actually, Khazanah lists PLUS as a strategic asset, which is why it is holding on to it. And remember that this was the government at that time maintained that they actually made a rescue of UEM Renong stroke PLUS, from Halim Sa during that period, And then they restructured the whole thing, listed it, and then eventually they decided to privatize it so as to keep the toll increases moderate and not too much, because I mean, if it was in private hands, the private holder will want to exercise the full extent of the agreement, which allows, I think, about a 10% increase in tolls every 3 years, which should be rather prohibitive now, as we have found out. But since this is owned by PLUS, by Khazanah, which is a government-owned company, there's more leeway to make changes. And I think when EPF bought that 49% stake, they were aware of the terms and conditions under which they are buying it. They look at it, I believe, as a long-term asset, which gives them a very acceptable long-term return in terms of investments.
And we'll be continuing our conversation about the Plus Takeover saga with P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, after these few messages. So be sure to stay tuned here for Pressing Matters, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Pressing Matters with me, Lin Mark, and Julian Ng. And we're speaking this morning to P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, about his article tackling the Plus Takeover saga. Now, Guna, why don't you just give us a little bit more background on the players in this drama? Because do any of them who've currently made bids for Plus actually have the expertise in running a highway?
I think some of them do. Abu Sayyid Mohammed he was involved in Purwaja before, and Purwaja is subsequently did not succeed. No, the steel company, but he runs Max, Max, which is apparently a successful highway, but. One has his offer was one of the earlier ones, I think, from 3 billion and went up to 3.5 billion. But he's very close to PM Tun Dr. Mahathir. You know, I mean, Dr. Mahathir attended his open house, Hari Raya, and things like that, you know, right on time at 8:30 and so on. And he's well known, indeed, well known that he is. RRJ Capital, it's a Hong Kong equity firm. Latest offer is 3.5 billion. And they are owned by the Ong Brothers of Malaysia, actually. The Ong Brothers of Malaysia. And then there is also, these people have done deals with special economic advisor to PM Tun Daim before. Tan Sri Halim Saad, of course, we know is a protege of Daim Zainuddin, very close to him. And the original person who owned Plus, the Widat Business Group, not much is known about them, sort of like a maintenance facility and construction group, but they now own a 63 or 64% stake in Data Prep Holdings, which was actually majority-owned once by Mirzan Mahathir, Tun Mahathir's son. So that's the kind of background of the bidders that you have, and everyone seems to have some kind of connections to, you know, the powers that be at this point of time.
So I acknowledge what you're saying, that the government needs to have control over this so that they can exercise policy over what happens to Plus. But I'm just wondering whether we have the ability to demarcate our lines of consideration. Because on the one hand, you want to wear the hat of government with policy issues on toll rates and so on. On the other hand, you have EPF, right, which for all intents and purposes is a profit-maximizing entity, right? They invest to make money and to give returns to shareholders. And in view of the retirement crisis that we're seeing, right, not many people have enough money to sustain their retirement. So at least as a kind of mental exercise, we should at least demarcate those lines and be in a position to do this mental exercise of saying what exactly is the fair valuation for Plus, and whether EPF should take that deals or not, considering all the other aspects of it, like whether the buyer has the ability to fulfill government conditions.
Yeah, I think in the case of EPF, they have a portfolio investment. So probably they would have done the numbers at the time that they went into this deal. And Plus is a sort of long-term investment. And then it gives very steady long-term returns. So I think for them that is factored in as part of a portfolio investment. So, but if they get an attractive enough offer, I'm sure they will dispose. Huh? So it's more, I think, Khazanah stake that one is looking at. In fact, some of the bidders are actually bidding for the 51% stake that Khazanah owns. Huh?
Right.
But the thing is, I mean, I think we should go back to the primary issue, which is why is the government selling? And will the sale actually help in the government's aim, which is to reduce debt and raise money? So in this case here, reducing debt, if the ultimate liability is with the government, then that will not effectively be reduced. But the amount that they raise is 5.3 billion. You know, cash from the current bid. That actually, in the overall scheme of things, is very small for the
Not a lot of money.
$44 billion for the ECRL project, 85% of which will be financed from loans from China. That alone amounts to $37.5 billion.
Yeah,
you know?
And then drop it in the ocean for the 1 trillion ringgit debt.
Yes.
There is, and also the conceptual argument for the sale of PLUS seems to be at odds with the intention to buy back the Gamuda highways. Because you're giving up control for one,
yes,
but you want to take control for another. And whatever has happened to that Gamuda deal?
I don't know. It's been sort of like deferred for a while yet. You know, it has not, the full approvals have not been obtained. So it looks like the government is rethinking that acquisition. Although although it may be possible that with the proceeds, you can actually service the debt. But effectively, it will increase the debt of the nation, you know, but although not by a very large amount.
But would it? Would we actually ever see a situation in which the government would buy over PLUS, similar to the bid for Gamuda?
Well, the PLUS is owned by Khazanah. 51% Khazanah is only owned by the government, so 51% is effectively with the government, and then 49% is with the long term investor. So EPF.
I think you nearly said EPF is also part of the government, and I shudder
no,
to
no,
think.
No, 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 not quite.
Yeah.
I'm quite aware of the difference.
I'm just worried for my money within EPF. You know, I just want to see whether the government is thinking through this, wearing both hats.
Yes, yeah. I mean, in the past, the EPF had been used for some rescue. You know, of government-linked companies and also companies linked to cronies. So one of them was Time, you know, and they actually underwrote an issue of Time shares and they lost a lot of money from that. So that now, thankfully, appears to be in the past, post the restructuring, which was of Khazanah National and the independence given to EPF by both successive governments under Abdullah Badawi as well as Najib Razak, you know. So I hope that they don't go back to these kind of things where there is subtle pressure put on EPF to sell assets at below value. You know? I mean, the key thing is you need experts to do this valuation. It's a complicated thing, and you need to get expert advice. And I can't think of any other company which has got more valuation expertise in this country than Khazanah National. Mm-hmm. And if need be, you can bring in independent advice, you know, from merchant bankers, from investment bankers, sorry. And they can actually make recommendations to the board, and the board should disclose this, you know. So this is normally what is done in a public listed company, and these are the kind of standards of corporate governance that Khazanah should adhere to.
Huh? Yeah, it should be allowed to adhere to. The transparency would be very good for the nation.
And then you make a decision based on that if the government still wants to go ahead with this. And any sale of assets at lower prices to the private sector is nothing else but theft. It's no different.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Gunnar. We've been speaking to P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. I'm Lynn Mark with Julian Ng, and this has been Pressing Matters. So now I'm signing off for The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.